exclusive session.
Okay, here we go. So, we first of all, we're starting a new series, and even though we don't thank Jake every single week that we have, the shiur, we probably should, and maybe we'll try to institute that, but at least in the beginning, you should know that we are very grateful to Jake and Karen for sponsoring the shiurim and the entire Abba Lovitz Beis Medrash program and everything that you do for the shul. So thank you. And yeah, so this is exciting. I'm excited. We have this topic is... What?
I thought the barbecue.
You're excited for the barbecue. Yes, I'm excited for the barbecue too and the Super Bowl party a little bit later on. But I'm excited about this series. I think the series is going to be a lot of fun to learn. There's a lot of very interesting topics within the broad area of Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. It's a mitzvah that we generally take for granted. I think that we know that it's an important mitzvah. I don't think we know what it entails. So if I took a poll right now and asked, what does the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha require of us? And I could open that up to the floor. Does anybody have any brief thoughts, preliminary thoughts of what does V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha require of us? I mean, we have other mitzvahs, you know, blow a shofar. So blowing a shofar, you have to blow 100 sounds on Rosh Hashanah, etc. There are rules, there are things we need to do. What about V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha? Is there things we need to do? What type of mitzvah is it? You know, to sort of broaden the question a little bit. We can't, some people don't, and we're going to discuss this a little bit today. We can break down mitzvos into different categories. So what categories can we break down mitzvos into? That's a broad question. But,
man and Hashem.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so you're right. So thinking, acting, so between man and Hashem, man and person, so interpersonal mitzvos and ben adam lamakom, that's one way of doing it. And V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha is actually going to be interesting, as we'll see. We're not going to discuss this today as to is it a between man and man or between man and God. You might think, obviously, it's between man and man. But we'll see, there's some indications of some interesting Bein Adam Lamakom stuff going on there, too. But Jake was pointing out, how can we break down mitzvos?
By thinking.
Acting. Or? Acting and doing this thing. Speaking, let's put with acting.
Action.
There's just one more. So action, speech, we'll put together. Thinking, what type of thinking mitzvos are there?
Doing positive things in your own mind.
Like what? What thinking mitzvos do we have?
Constant.
Loving God. So loving God, you are categorizing as thinking, which is interesting. There are those that say that loving God means to think about God, but if I would have asked you what category loving God fell into, what would have I expected you to say?
Action.
And there's still a category that we're missing. Loving God, what category should that be in?
Praying.
Thinking, no. Action, or?
Constant mitzvahs.
No, thinking, action.
Enjoyment
closer.
Positive,
negative, that's another category. Okay, but you're not getting it. Love.
Love.
Hate. Jealousy.
Emotion.
Thank you.
Emotion.
Three categories of mitzvos. Thinking, feeling, action. So we just gave a few examples of feeling. Thinking, you said loving God, which might be tied to thinking, but I would have at first glance just said that is an emotional thing to do. We might talk about loving God later on down the road. But what type of thinking mitzvos are there? Okay, so belief in God. We could put as a thought, you know, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, accepting the yoke of heaven could be, you know, a thought. We're not going to really dwell in the realm of thoughts. We're going to be focusing a lot on emotion. So the question is, so V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, which category does it fit into? Is it an emotion? Is it an action? Is it a thought? So what do you think? Again, this is Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah. This is the basis. V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, every kid knows V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha is so important. But what does it entail?
Emotion.
Action. All three. Okay. This is good. We have a debate right here. What exactly is V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha?
That mitzvah manifests itself through other actions, through other mitzvahs, which you do. Let's say,
like
if
what?
I come over to you Shabbos and say, please don't talk, that's only the Rabbono, and this is the Araiso, not to make you feel bad.
So not to make you feel bad is a Araiso. The Araiso of what? A biblical mitzvah, Abat Torecha Kamocha? Oh, so there's another question. So when I say love your fellow like yourself, we'll have to understand exactly what that means. So you just said I can't make him feel bad.
Yes.
So is it a positive action that I have to do towards another person, or is it avoiding negative actions towards that other person, or is it both?
Both.
So Laser says both. So we'll have to see.
Let's say if I find you in the sharpness, then I negative commandment you do it. I could also warn you.
So if you're about to do a negative commandment and I warn you, so what are you saying? That's
v'ahavta
l'recha kamocha.
Okay,
so what would you categorize under, let's talk about positives, and we're not going to spend, let's talk about positives for a second. So negative, we'll start with negative. How do you want to categorize what the negative commandment around v'ahavta l'recha kamocha is? It's not a negative commandment, it's a positive commandment, at least at first glance. But what would you consider within that category of don't do something to your friend that what? That would embarrass him, that you wouldn't, more broader, that you wouldn't want done to yourself. Okay? So that would incorporate anything. I mean, that's...
Don't tell us the lesson. Don't do it.
Thank you, Phil. You stole one of our first sources. But we'll get there in a moment. So I'll just give you an example. Let's say parking in somebody's driveway. So if you park in somebody's driveway, so is that a violation of a Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha?
Police.
Yes. No. You say no.
Yeah, it's a police violation.
It's a police violation, but who cares? There could be consequences to it, but I'm talking about in terms of Jewish law. Is that a violation of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha? So we can ask, would I want somebody to park in my driveway? So if the answer is no, and I park in somebody else's driveway, then that seems to be a clear-cut violation of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. Now, let's say I don't care if somebody parks in my driveway. But can I park in his driveway? I don't care. You can park in my driveway. Can I park in your driveway?
No, because you don't know his feeling.
Because he probably doesn't want. So we'll have to get into that exactly how to define those parameters. But that
and the crossing the street. I read someplace in the Papua newspaper. You're putting the other driver in danger. Would you want to be?
So if I'm jaywalking,
yeah.
Right? So that's actually a great example. Most of us violate this all the time. But if I'm driving and some person, you're going down King's Highway. They don't even red light, green light. They don't care. They're just walking no matter what. So when I'm driving, that bothers me.
Yeah.
So if I do it while I'm walking, so it's not just. Really what I'm trying to do here is that it's broadening almost all of our interpersonal actions can fall under the rubric of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. When I cross that street jaywalking, and that's a violation of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, perhaps, because I don't want somebody doing it while I'm driving, so if I do it while somebody else is driving, forget about whether I'm safe, I'm not safe, it's Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. Okay, that's a good example. So we'll have to go one in a later shiur. We're going to go through a lot of those different type of examples and see exactly what the parameters of that are. So we're doing a broad general overview of what we're going to be doing in the future, and we're going to do a specific topic that we're going to get to, we're leading into now. So we've seen so far, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, we've had some people said it's a thought, some an action, some a feeling. The word is v'ahavta, right? Love, we generally view love as a feeling. What I'm going to challenge you in a few shiurim down the road is, what does love actually mean? It's another word. Valentine's Day is coming up. You know, we throw around that I'm not sure we know what it means. I'm not sure anybody really has a good definition of what love means. The Torah says the word love in many, many different contexts. Love God. Love your fellow man. You know, Avram loved, X or whatever it is. What Are those the same thing? Is that the same emotion? If it's an emotion, is that the same emotion that I feel towards God that I feel that I feel towards a person? Is the love that I feel towards my wife the same love that I feel towards the guy next to me? You know, we say the same word for different things, and the question is, if we want to quantify exactly what this mitzvah is, we need to be able to define what we're actually supposed to be doing. What does love mean? Now, what's the easiest way around that issue? The easiest way around, it's really fuzzy to explain what love is, therefore, we would explain that maybe the mitzvah is not about the actual emotion. Right? The easiest step away from if love is a fuzzy concept that we can't really define is to say that the Torah doesn't really want us to love as an emotion. Rather, it wants us to either do actions or not do negative actions. Right? But love, nah, come on, we can't really expect you to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we'll have to get down to that. There's a lot of issues within that question.
I would say what you said, that love is just a title. The actions, what you do, it reflects what you did, the title.
Okay, the question is...
So positive to him, the love is good. Let's say if you were negative to him, the love is hate.
But should I be feeling an emotion or not?
I think this is outcome. The action reflects in the emotion.
Okay, that's a nice way of looking at it. But again, you're saying that the actions are, can the actions reflect emotions? Can the actions bring on emotions?
Actions,
do I even have to care about the emotions? Yes.
I would say actions bring up emotions.
Okay, so we'll see. We'll get to that.
It's
yeah.
a very subjective issue. Because if you love God, you cannot love God in the same way that you would love your girlfriend or your wife or your children.
Wait till we see the Rambam on that. But yeah.
Because when you say you love God, it's more a spiritual type subjective. When you love your wife or your children, it has a different context.
Right.
It's more, there is more, not material, but there's a more concrete aspect.
Okay, that's a good point. But we'll have to see if that's true. And then we have to see my wife and my kids, what about, again, the mitzvah here doesn't say love your wife and your kids. The mitzvah, there's no mitzvah to love your parents, except that they're included in v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, but there's a mitzvah to honor your parents and to revere your parents. There's no mitzvah to love your parents, but except for that broad v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. But we'll also have to see what is an emotion. And this is where we'll bring some of the psychology into it also. How do you define an emotion? Right? I right now say I love my wife. I'm lying to you.
What?
Because in a... you walked in too soon.
Oh, wow. You forgot.
The point is that right now I don't feel an emotion towards my wife. Do I? Right? I mean, I'll ask you right now. I mean, Phil, Judy and Phil, you're here together, so maybe it's different. But do you guys feel an emotion right now? No, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. How do you define an emotion? I can be loyal to my wife. I can think about my wife. I can say the second I get home, I'm going to go and, spend time with my wife. But does that mean right now I actually... I have the emotion of love towards my wife. Maybe the more I talk about it, maybe I do. But at any given point in time, an emotion is actually something, well, it depends how we define it, it's something that's fleeting. A minute, 2 minutes. You can feel that physiological response of an emotion. So we say, I love somebody. That doesn't mean that I have that emotion right now. So what does it mean, love your fellow like yourself?
Emotion is something that you cannot describe that you feel in your God. For example, if you go to the hotel and you are in that spiritual, then you will get some sensation. A good example I have for you. Many years ago, we went to the Grand Canyon. And early in the morning when the sun was rising and it changed, and I had an a feeling, an experience that has not been reproduced like that in that situation.
What happens if you think about it now? If you think back, do you get any feeling?
Yes, I still, not the intensity that I had. At
right,
that
not time, the intensity, but do you have something?
Something that stirred me up.
Okay, so good. So we'll get to that a little bit later on, in terms of how to cultivate or bring about emotion. But again, but the point is that if you look at emotion as a physiological response to the Kotel, to the Grand Canyon, to another person, that physiological response doesn't happen 24/7.
No.
Right? It doesn't happen. Maybe we'll have to get to this. I'm just throwing out a theory here. Maybe what it means is doing actions, as Laser pointed out, or interacting with somebody in a positive way that brings about as many of those positive type of love emotions as possible. So maybe, yeah, I'm not going to love them all day, but it means that I should do these things so that I feel that loving emotion as much as possible. And when I do those things, I'm fulfilling that mitzvah of loving my fellow person. So that's, we're not there yet. We need to develop that. We have to see some sources on that before we get there. But for the broad picture for now, in this introductory 20 minutes or so, is that we really don't know that much about this mitzvah. Right? When you start asking these questions, what does it actually mean, love your neighbor like yourself? So if you look at the broad outline that I wrote on top here, this is going to change and evolve over the course of the next few weeks. But there's a book here that I have called Shulchan Aruch Amidos. It's a very fascinating book written by a Talmid of Rav Ovadia Yosef. It's all in Hebrew. And the entire book is on the mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael, loving your fellow Jew. We'll have to get to the other question, what does Re'acha mean? Does Re'acha mean Jew? Does it mean anybody in general? Does this mitzvah apply to everybody? Or does it just apply to a fellow Jewish person? So that we'll have to get to both in Tanakh, and you know, we'll see a lot of different sources on that. So he has here a whole bunch of pages on, he quotes 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 different sources. We're not going to see all of them inside, obviously. And he breaks them down into different opinions in terms of what's included in this mitzvah. So you have here 1, 2, 3, 4. Some opinions say that the mitzvah includes the emotion of ahavta plus the requirement of positive action towards your fellow person plus the avoidance of negative actions. That's one group of people. The second group of people say it's just emotion. The mitzvah requires just an emotion, not necessarily any positive action. Doesn't mean you can do something negative towards your friend. That might be under other mitzvos, right? Don't hate your friend in your heart, you know, those type of things. But in terms of the mitzvah of Ahavta Le'echa Kamocha, according to this group of opinions, it's just a feeling that you should be having. Number three, the third group of people, is that it includes a positive action and an avoidance of negative actions, but not an emotion.
That would be very
populistic. Right, so that's the third category. And the fourth category, it doesn't even require positive action. It's just avoiding negative emotion. Negative actions. No emotions, no positive actions. Just avoid negative actions. So within that broad discussion of, we'll see a lot of those opinions, we'll see how do you define the positive emotion of ahavta, something we just spoke about a few minutes ago. What positive, according to the group that includes positive actions, what positive actions are included in ahavta? Laser, the examples you gave before were negative actions of don't do this, that would harm my friend. What positive actions are included in this mitzvah? Are they required? Are we required to do those positive actions? Or is it just an elective? You know, if you want to do it, you can do it and you'll fulfill this mitzvah. Or is it, no, I must do X, Y, and Z. So we'll get to that. That's a very interesting discussion. And then in terms of, we discussed also what negative actions must we avoid. So these are the broad questions we'll be seeing. We're not going to get to all of this today. Next week is going to, that's sort of like the entirety of the series. Plus we'll see other stuff as we go along the way. So that's why I'm excited. I think this is a fascinating topic. What we're going to start today with...
Kevin, should your show this mitzvah to a guy whom you dislike?
So are you required to do v'hatzor echa kamocha to somebody that you don't like?
That you passed it, did you harm? You want to ignore him?
Okay, so
I know that is to unload the donkey.
So we'll get to that. There's a mitzvah to help your enemy. The question is, what enemy? Yeah. Are you allowed to have an enemy?
No.
Who said you're allowed to dislike that guy? Because what? So are there people you're allowed to dislike? If they're wicked? How we have to define wicked? Just because he did something that you may or may not have liked personally doesn't necessarily make him a Russia. So we'll have to. We'll get to that. That's part of the discussion of what Reacha means. But it's a good question. The simple answer is, again, unless he's a wicked person, and perhaps even if he is a wicked person, yes. And that's part of what this mitzvah is. And that's why this mitzvah is so important, is that it's supposed to engender and require of all of us to really love each other, like each other. It depends how we define love. Do nice things to each other. Don't harm each other. Keep good interpersonal avos yisrael, right? Interpersonal relationships. That's really what the mitzvah is. And it's hard because we all have, somebody who we think, no, I'm not going to be nice to that guy because I'm right. He's wrong. And the question is that the Torah approach? Or how many times during our day do we actually fulfill this mitzvah or violate this mitzvah? How many times do we do things that somebody else won't like? And now to show how pervasive and important and all-encompassing this mitzvah is, this mitzvah, even though we overlook it, and we'll spend a time elaborating on this in a future shiur, does, and perhaps is even more important, in terms of the relationships we have in our house. And I would say it's almost impossible, but it's not, it's a mitzvah, is that v'hatzor echa kamocha applies to our spouses, perhaps even more importantly than other people. So any time we do something to hurt our spouse, we are in violation of this mitzvah. Now, everybody does averos at some point. Nobody's perfect. That's expected. But if we look at our relationships, especially with our friends, with our spouses, with our children, in terms of this light, and we take a step back and we study these laws, we'll be a lot, if this is effective, we will be a lot more careful in terms of the things that we do that hurt them, we're going to stay away from. And things that they like, we're going to do. It's not just a good marriage. It's not just good relationships. It's a biblical commandment. This is what God wants us to do. So I think it's important to look at it as this mitzvah is so broad and so all-encompassing that we need to know what this mitzvah entails, because if we do follow this mitzvah properly, I guarantee you our lives will be better. There's no question. We'll have less negative emotion, we'll have less fights, and we'll have a positive attitude, again, encompassing most of our day in terms of our interpersonal relationships. Yeah. I'm not tipping up. We'll have to get to it. There are Rishonim who say it only applies to Jewish people. We'll have to see what that entails. This book, for instance, on Shulchan Aruch Hamidos, he entitles it the mitzvah of, actually, first he calls it Ahavas Habrios. Yeah, but I thought he called it Ahavas Yisrael somewhere too. But Ahavas Habrios means creation, doesn't necessarily limit to it. So we'll get to that. So you're right, I shouldn't have tipped my hat to that. So what our goal is for this morning, for the rest of the time that we have, now that we did the broad outline, is we're going to focus on one specific approach in terms of that V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha is the avoidance of negative action. Just because I'm talking about this doesn't mean this is the only approach. Remember, there's four different approaches. But within that approach, that all v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is an avoidance of negative actions. So I want to talk about why is that so? Why would anybody take the pasuk that says, love your fellow like yourself, and say, what does that mean? Don't do him harm. I could agree with that, but what about the fact that it says to love him? Are you ignoring that? Is there a reason why you're telling me that that's not what it means? It doesn't mean to love him. It just means don't do him harm. Right? So within that fourth opinion, that all it means is avoidance of negative actions, I want to know, why do you say that? Why are you limiting yourself to this beautiful mitzvah of loving every person to just don't do him any harm? What about the love? What about positive actions? So we're going to ask, we're going to focus on the love instead of the positive actions for now. But why does he, what is his aversion to saying that Hashem in the Torah is telling us and commanding us to love our fellow Jew with a positive emotion? So do you have any thoughts on that? On that question, why would somebody go along and say, even though the Pasuk says, love your fellow like yourself, says that doesn't mean love him. Okay, so avoiding negative actions is achievable, but what's the next part of that sentence? But
loving your neighbor like yourself, loving that's much more difficult to create an emotion in yourself than it is to just avoid doing negative actions.
Okay, good. You just said two things. I don't know if you realized it, but you said two different things, and I want to split them into two. You started saying loving somebody like yourself is impossible, difficult. And then you said commanding an emotion is difficult or impossible, whatever the word you use. Those are two separate claims. How are those two separate claims? Commanding us to love our fellow like ourselves is impossible. Let's just use the word impossible for now. Versus telling us to feel an emotion is impossible.
Well, Judy just pointed out.
Yes.
It's possible that one can not love themselves and then the whole thing.
So that's a good question. What if I don't love myself?
You know, so if you want to feel towards others, if you want to wish something on others that you wish on yourself, suppose that you're very depressed and you want to kill yourself, so you don't want to.
Okay, so that's a very fair question, and we will address that. What happens if I don't love myself? So what do I have to do? Sort of, it's a similar question to that question. What if I don't care if I park, you know, in that spot or in that driveway or in that whatever? What if I don't care about it? So it's a similar question. But what I'm getting at is that there's really two points here. There's the point of, can the Torah command us to feel something? And that's really what you ended up saying. And then there's a question of, even if the Torah can command us to feel something, is it plausible to command us to love someone as we love ourselves? Meaning, if the Torah, let's assume the Torah can command emotions for a second. The question is, how plausible is it to command me to love someone as I love myself? If you wanted to say, love him a little bit, okay, I'll buy that. But to love him as myself, how is that possible? I love myself too much. Assuming you're not that person who's depressed, right? I love myself too much. I can't love him as much as I love myself. So that's one question. And we're going to see that. That's not what we're going to discuss today. We're going to see how the Rishonim, how the rabbis deal with that question. How can you command me to love someone as I love myself? So, but that's not the same question as, can the Torah command us to feel something? That's assuming it can, but we just want to know to what degree can it. Now I'm asking a different question. Can the Torah command us to feel something? So what do you think? Yes?
It does.
It does. It does, but?
It does, so therefore it must be that it can.
That it, so it can.
It does.
Is it fair? Because before you said it's difficult, it's impossible to command emotions. So the Torah does command emotions.
To achieve.
So is the Torah commanding us something that is difficult or impossible to achieve? Well, those are two different questions. But yeah, Jake, what do you say?
No, I'm saying there's different levels.
Uh-huh.
You don't know what level the Torah expects you to follow. Maybe it's you're not expected to do 100%. There must be different level that you have to do. After Afkamocha, you can You say you love yourself so much. I can't love the other person like I love myself. But there's a different levels that you are.
It's a spectrum.
You have to try, and you're not expected to love him as much as you love yourself when you're at that point.
Okay, so good. So we're going to get to that. But that was, again, that was really more the first part. The first part of how the Torah could command emotion. The question is to what extent. Okay, but now I'm going even a step back. Can the Torah command emotion? And we pointed out, it does. So, well, I'll address that in a second, but what do you say, John?
The Torah can command us that, but practical cannot happen because it's a physiological response of the individual. So, it's an abstraction.
Okay, so I like what you said, but I'm going to modify it a little bit. So I have a problem with saying, maybe this is just my problem, I have a problem with saying that the Torah commands me to do something that's impossible. I don't want to say that, and I don't think it's true. So on the other hand, John's pointing out that, but what can I do about it? It's a physiological response. It's perhaps even an automatic response to feel something. So how can, A, the Torah tell me, it's really two questions, not to feel something, don't be jealous, right? Don't hate. In contrast, how can the Torah tell me to feel something? Love. What do you want from me? Tell her I love it or I don't love it. So if that's true, we'll have to see if it is, if that's true that there's some automatic response here, then we really have to understand, so what is the Torah commanding us? Right? If it's, again, I'm going to go with the assumption that the Torah is not going to command us something that's impossible. So what's our options? If the Torah is not going to command us something that's impossible, and you're right, John, that an emotion is an automatic response that I can't control, so what are my options here?
It's the concept that I just read about this morning, that external reflects the internal, or as we say more in, when I've worked at the drug rehab center, you're supposed to act as if. So even if you don't feel happy, you make a suda, can command us, because we are capable of doing that, and we hope that the external things, by acting as if, will lead to the internal things, the emotion.
Okay, beautiful. So we can say that, and we're going to see this inside in the Sefer HaChinuch in a few minutes, you could say, it's the concepts called Acharei HaPu'ulos Nimshachem HaLevavos, Nimshachos HaLevavos, we'll see the exact wording inside in a second, but that after my action, my heart is drawn after my actions. So can the Torah command emotion? So the way you're formulating it, and I like the way you're saying it, is that no, but what it can do is require us to do actions, and we hope that by doing those actions, the emotion will come. Can we be punished, let's say, if that's what we're going to worry about, can we be punished for not feeling those emotions? So the way you're formulating it is no, because what do you want from me? I did the action. My brain didn't pick up on that physiological response. That's not my fault. That's how you hardwired me. I'm doing everything you told me to do. I just can't. That's beyond my control. And perhaps that is a good way of explaining it. That the Torah requires us to do actions that should lead to emotions. And in the event that they don't, okay, what do you want from me? Okay, so I like that. Another way of doing it is by, this is the cleaner and easier way, although I don't like it, I don't like the ramifications of it, is to say that the Torah does not command emotions. Right? Again, what's our problem? We have a contradiction here in my own terms. The Torah is not going to tell us something we can't do. It's not going to command us something we can't do. On the other hand, emotions are, I would say, very hard, impossible maybe, to control. They're physiological responses. Mm-hmm. So how do we reconcile those? So either we say, you're right, the Torah is not commanding emotions, it's commanding actions, which will lead to emotions. Yeah. Or, it's basically the same idea, the Torah doesn't command emotions at all, and it's not worried about emotions at all. The Torah just wants you to do actions. Whether it leads to emotions or not is irrelevant. So when the Torah uses the word ve'ahavta, to love, it doesn't mean love. It means do actions that are associated with love. I don't care if you feel that or not. I don't like that because I like feelings. I like the feeling of love. I like the concept of the Torah telling us that we should feel love. But it is another approach that some take, is that, no, the Torah will never command us to feel an emotion. It'll tell us to do actions, and it's not concerned with emotion. Okay. Now, so the question is, what about V'ahavta l'recha kamocha? So is there a positive emotion that we need to do, that we need to feel of love? Or is it just actions that should lead to love? Or do we not care about love? Do we just care about actions? So let's jump in for a second to the first source. That's something else I wanted to say, but I forgot what it was. It'll pop up in my head eventually. Let's jump into our first source. You have it here in the Aramaic and in the English. This is the famous one that Phil already told us by heart. So the famous story of Hillel and the convert. So Shuv Maisa Benoch Riachot Shibolifnei Shammai. So this Gentile came before Shammai and said to him, Amar lo, Giarani. Convert me on condition that you teach me the whole Torah while I stand on one foot. Okay, so Shammai, with his little bit of a temper, threw him out. Okay, so he came before Hillel, Balifnei Hillel, and Hillel actually converted him. So he's standing on one foot, and he's waiting to hear what's the entire Torah. So Hillel says, Da'alach sani, L'chavrech lo savid. What is hateful to you, do not to your neighbor. Zuhi kol ha-Torah kula. This is the entire Torah. V'idach perushahu zil gemor. The rest of it is commentary. Go learn the rest of the Torah now. But you have all the concepts you need. What is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. So what's strange about this statement? Right, is this v'ahavta l'recha kamocha? Right, this is the converse, inverse, I don't remember my 10th grade math logical, whatever it is. Contrapositive, sure, we'll go with that. Instead of saying, love your neighbor like yourself, he said, don't do harm to your neighbor. Don't do harm that you wouldn't want done to yourself, to your neighbor. So he flips it. So, why? So let's assume now he's talking about the concept of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Some say he's not. But let's assume now he's talking about v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Why does he flip it?
He's worried about the action.
So perhaps he's worried about, for sure he's worried about feeling, maybe, right? The Torah's not telling us to feel something. It's telling us to not cause harm. He still could have said, do an action. But apparently, according to him, that's not what the mitzvah is about. That's not what's really important. Doing actions, or at least in this statement. It's not about doing actions. It's about not doing harm. So where does this come from? So if you look here at source 3, we'll jump back to source 2 in a second. The Maharsha, this is in Hebrew, but I'll translate it. This is a commentary to that Gemara. The Maharsha asks, in the middle of that line, in the first line, source 3, it's on the first page. So the Marsha directly links this statement of Hillel to the mitzvah of Ahavta l'recha kamocha. It says, V'yesh la'ayin b'zeh. Gam sha'amar le'b'lashon targum, sheken haya l'shon amaz b'yushalayim. So it actually, there is an earlier source, the Targum Yonasan, has this language also in the negative of don't do harm. Mikol makom amay shina l'amar b'lashon shlila. So why does he use the negative formulation? And why? So it should have just said in the positive. So the next line in the middle, the Yeshlomar demash male dekra lo airi ela b'chi hai gabna. So he says it's not a philosophical point. It's not a it's impossible to command emotion, or it's impossible to or the Torah's not commanding us to do positive actions. It's a context point, context of the psukim. What is the context of the psukim? So go back now to source number 2. What's the context of the pasuk of Ahavta l'recha kamocha? As you'll see, it's going to be all the way on the last line of that source. But before that, we have seven psukim or so that all say a lot of no's. Lo tignovu, lo techachashu, lo techachashu, lo bamito. You shall not steal, neither shall you deal falsely, nor lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, profane nor, oppressing the neighbor, nor don't rob him, don't curse the deaf, don't place a stumbling block. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor favor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shall you judge the neighbor. Thou shalt go up and down as thou shalt not. Excuse me. Don't be a talebearer. Don't hate your brother in your heart. Don't take ben. Now we're in the last pasuk of Avzarecha Kamocha, pasuk 18. Lo sikum lo sitor es b'nei amecha. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha ani Hashem. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So you have all these no's. No. And then v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. So the Maharsha is explaining, why does Hillel formulate it in the no? Don't do unto others what you don't want to be done to you. So why does he formulate in the negative? So Marsha says, because the context of the psukim is all negative. Right, so let's read that inside where we left off. V'yeshomar demashmalei dekra, back in source 3, lo ayri ala b'chiyai gavna, below tases, it's dealing with negative commandments. Degabe, the same pasuk, lo sikom lo sitor, and then it says, after that, v'hat l'recha, shalo sase lo re'a, mikol desani loch, about Gabe Lasos Lotova, in terms of doing positive, good actions, lo ka'amar v'apsalareacha kamocha. It doesn't say it. And he brings a proof why it's not, and we'll get into this in a different week, because it says, k'damrina chayacha kod min l'chaye achicha. So there's a concept which we'll deal with at length, of that your life comes before your friend's life. So if you really take v'apsalareacha kamocha in its literal sense, how is that possible? That my friend's life comes before my life. Aren't we equal? Shouldn't we be the same? So we'll deal with that, but that's not for now. But for our purposes, what you get from the Maharsha, his explanation of the Gemara, is that all that's required from the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha is don't do negative actions to somebody else. That'll cause them harm. Why? Because that's the context of the pasuk. Notice, what doesn't he say? He doesn't say, the reason why I'm telling you that this mitzvah is not to do, it's too many negatives here. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say that the reason why I'm telling you this mitzvah is formulated in the negative is because the Torah does not command emotions. He does not say that. That's not what he's dealing with. The Torah could command emotions.
He's dealing with options.
Right? The Torah could command emotions. It's just the context of the psukim is dealing with don't do negative things to your friend. Okay? So there's no philosophical problem with commanding emotions. So we could, but that's just not what the mitzvah is dealing with. So if you turn the page to page 2, it's double-sided. So this is really this is not talking about this is talking about the 10th commandment. What's the 10th commandment? Right. Lo sachmo, thou shalt not covet to thy neighbor's house, or his wife, his servant, etc. So, on this mitzvah is where the Rishonim ask the question, how can the Torah command emotions? How can the Torah command emotions? So again, I might not be so bothered with that, but they were. John was bothered by it too. An emotion is an automatic response. So how can the Torah command emotions? Okay, so look in the Sefer HaChinuch. And John, don't take this personally, okay? After you read what he says. Va'al titama lomar. This is source number 5. Va'al titama lomar. Ve'ech yeh biyado shal adam limno levavom his avos el otsar kol kli chemda shira bereshus chaveiro vim kulam reik v'reika. How can the Torah command us not to feel this jealousy towards this other person? How can the Torah prohibit such a thing? So he says, I can't do it. The Torah can't command me to do something I can't do. So what's his response? Shezeh hadavar eino kain. This is not true. Lo yomer oso. Nobody would make this claim, despite the fact that he says that how can the Torah command me to do something I can't do? He says, nobody would make this claim except for, again, John, close your ears, hatipshim haroim v'chataim b'nafshosam. The wicked fools, and they even, the translation here does a ... from the website that I pulled it from, not to translate all of the negative adjectives over here. Come on, nobody would do such a thing unless you're really pulled by your wickedness. Nobody would ask such a question. It's a pretty strong response by the Sefer HaChinuch. I think it is a valid question, John, so don't feel too taken aback here. But so what's his approach? Why is he saying that it's not a good question? So he says, he takes the approach that it is within man's control to really prevent himself and control his emotions and his feelings as much as he wants. It is within his control to push away things and to bring close things that he wants to do, to think, to feel. Belibo musser biyado. His heart, his emotions are within his hands to control. Etc. So he takes this fascinating approach, is troublesome to some, but he says that you can do it. Your heart, your thoughts, your everything is within your control. So now the question is, how? How? So what's the Sefer HaChinuch's famous, this is your addiction, what you learned in the with the therapy with the addicts. Sefer HaChinuch, next source, this is the same person, different source. He says, so how do I do this? So he says, Va'ata b'ni, in Bina source 6, there's no English for this. Va'ata b'ni, in Bina shamata zos, va'ata uznacha b'shma, l'mdacha lohoil b'torah v'mitzos. So he's going to tell you something that's fundamental. Adam nifal kefi pa'ulosa. A person is affected by and he is drawn after his actions. Belibo b'chomachshavosav tamid achar ma'isav shu osabehem. And all of his thoughts and his lave, which we'll assume he means emotions. His emotions and his thoughts are always after his actions, his deeds. In tovim rav, they're good or bad. Va'filu rasha gamar bilvavo. You have somebody who is a terrible person, completely terrible. If he decides that I'm going to completely engross myself in Torah and in mitzvot, even if he's not doing it for the purpose of heaven, so he's addicted, but he's going to completely immerse himself, all of a sudden, immediately, I don't know if it works that quickly, but immediately he will turn to good. From his actions, he'll be able to kill, to knock off the Yetzer Hara. That's the key phrase. After our actions, our heart is drawn. Our heart is drawn after our actions. And he goes the flip. He could be a tremendous tzaddik. And he wants to do Torah mitzvos. If he starts going to racetracks and he starts going to the casinos all day. So he gives the example. So why would he do that? The king forced him to do something, to be in a scenario where he's going to be doing terrible things all day. Doesn't matter how big of a tzaddik he was, if he is forced to do that, be in that bad situation, that bad place, he's going to become a wicked person. It's well known, he says, that everybody is drawn by their actions. So how do I affect an emotion? How do I affect a thought? Through actions. Okay? This is a powerful idea. It's what apparently has been being practiced. Is it that effective?
It's much simpler just to say act as if.
Right, so act as if. So that you could cross that out and write act as if. You know, there's a concept called behavioral activation. If somebody's depressed, if you take a behavioral model of depression, the way to fix that depression, the reason why there's depression is because there's not enough positive reinforcers in that person's life. So the way to fix it is behavioral activation. You go and you just do. You do things that you enjoy, and you do things that you're good at, so you're going to get the positive reinforcement from others or from just the completion of the activity that you're good at, and that could help the depression. So again, we're not talking about depression here per se, but it's this idea of behavioral activation, of act as if, that could take you out of a depression, and it could take you out of a negative emotion like low sach mode. Act as if you love that guy, and you're not going to be jealous of him. You're not going to hate him. Right? Would you be jealous? And there's a famous Gemara in the Yerushalmi that says, if my right hand stabbed my... How's it go? If my right hand stabbed my left hand... Where is it? Exactly. There's something along the lines of, if my right hand stabbed my left hand, would my left hand go take... you know, revenge on my right hand? No, because it's one body. I'm one person, right? So in theory, if you look at the Jewish people as one unified people, as one whole body, so if one person does something to me, I am not going to take revenge on him because it is the same body. It's my right hand, left hand. So that would take a changing of our thought process in order to affect that change. But in theory, again, it's if I... Oh, that's thought process, or here we're talking about behavior, is that if I do behaviors that simulate loving that person, then perhaps acting as if I will love that person. Okay? So, that is the Sefer HaChinuch. Now, what do we have? We have a few more minutes. So, there's a lot more we need to do. We're not going to do it today. We can spread this out over a few, next week also. To give you a glimpse of what I want to do, is I want to bring the Sefer HaChinuch from the 13th century that he wrote this in, and this was a tremendous precursor to a lot of behavior therapy and a lot of stuff that we do nowadays in the world of psychology, but it's still also it's not a fully developed concept. It's not, we can say it, we can think it, we can understand it, but it's a little bit more complicated than go do and you'll feel the emotion. Right? How does that actually work? What's the principles behind that? If I want to, right? If we want to make this a practical self-help book, a practical self-help class in how to cultivate emotions, whether getting rid of negative emotions or activating positive emotions, which I want to do, I want to learn how to do that, then we can't just throw out go do and you'll feel emotions. That might be true, but I want to understand more how that actually happens. And I'm curious, why is it that as I'm going to do it, that'll draw the emotion? Does it always work? Will it work in all scenarios? Do all addicts become cured because they start to act not like addicts? I don't think it's that simple. So what exactly is it that would be effective here? When would it be effective? And what are we really, what can we do to make our emotions, to cultivate these emotions? Is anybody interested in that? I'm interested in that.
Is this one-way street or two-way street? Let's say I did to you harm. You perceived to harm. Do you have to respond to me with kindness, or you can ignore me and never deal with me?
Okay, that's a good question. We'll get to that. That's a detail, and it's a detail that we'll address. So what we're going to do next week is two things. Number one is I want to break down this concept of changing emotion with behavior. I have here a book called Cognitive Psychology, Mind and Brain. I have to read this in my first year in the PsyD program. And in it, he has a chapter on emotions, and he goes through the different behavioral approaches to how we can learn and unlearn emotions. So we're going to do this four different ways of doing it. We'll try to match it up with the Sefer HaChinuch and some other sources to see exactly how that could work. And the other thing I want to do is if you look in the next source is the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra is another famous source. He asks the same question about how the Torah can command emotions, and he gives a different approach. Not a act-as-if approach. He rather gives a a certain way approach. Instead of behavior, he talks about thinking. And if you turn the page twice, so we're on page 4, the page with these little graphs,
the diagrams.
So this is another different approach in modern psychology in terms of therapy, in terms of how thoughts, behavior, and feelings interact with each other to create our mindset towards something. This is cognitive behavioral therapy, rational motor behavior therapy. We'll get into details now. We'll get into details next time about exactly how these things work. But there's actually therapies on how to change emotions. How do you change an emotion? If I have a negative emotion, how am I supposed to change that? So the Torah is telling me change it because that's the rule. The therapists are telling you change it because that negative emotion is really destroying your life right now. So let's work on how to change it. So we're going to use that model as well, besides for the behavior model, which is the Sefer HaChinuch model. We'll use the Ibn Ezra's cognitive model, the thinking model, and show how we can actually change our emotions based on our thoughts, not just on our behaviors. And then after that, we have many, many, many more things that we need to do, as we described in the beginning of this year. But we have many, many more weeks to do it. Any questions? Thoughts, comments? Nothing. Okay, good.